20211118_194124.jpg. Can we find a collective bone, backbone, to pass this interview and have a Zoom video conference, dash? This is a priority 911 emergency dash. FB_IMG_1,624,478,676,828.jpg. A collective social disorder, dash is a collective community responsibility to address these revealed insane truths. More than just TikTok, I assure you. But the model of expression here, dash unyielding respect for customer dignity. And respect dash promise to engage and answer and resolve upon this disappointment customer to company relpatients we. Fixing by one dash the loss of trust that has happened by what is considered oblivion made and lost to all instructions. Held in silence, reaching upward and out of this void dash is what kind of statement was made, dash and if we do not engage this. Kind of promise in all of our working lives, dash. Without a faithful need to address dash fixing it, dash we are pulling our society over an edge deemed so far, dash beyond, dash. The horizon's shadow. The TikTok app being discussed here in the video documentary had a need to hold onto this next image. Was unapproved installed on my device. Such tactics are mentioned in this video, dash the complete transcript is also placed. Into view of this text email. That kind of arrangement, dash Microsoft was sued for on platforms provided fresh and new with pre-installed software, dash Microsoft lost. Creating a marketing monopoly to the distribution use of its tool by default than others. An opened FB Messenger communication initiated, no response so far from HP support. This is the display of the lock screen of this device. Screenshot_202111820221_SamsungInternet.png20210705_09143.jpg. This remains an ongoing silenced address, dash effort after effort, dash sitting silent collecting digital dust over a course of years, dash we are in major societal trouble people. Wake up please, dash respond to your response of responsibity. Capture+_2021-04-13-14-23-18-2.png. 064-NSAA.png043-Chromobone. PNGQR-Important-Public-Affairs-Community-Address, National-Police-Association. Dash policy social media dash blocking dash stop gangstalking dot png. A major issue affecting us all, dash we cannot just leave in the gutter mind of silence. That redwork stains is actually human blood, dash mine, dash happening January 3, 2021, dash hash bloodroom 101 on YouTube. 20210109_122338. JPG 20210109_122327.jpg. Capture+_2021-03-25-12-08-40.png. 2021-03-26.png. 2021-03-26.png. Can we find the priority need to rung by rung walk upward onto this trust ladder, dash? Can we find a collective bone, backbone, to pass this interview and have a Zoom video conference, dash? This is a priority 911 emergency, dash. United forces of community, dash united forces of peace. Can we find it in free willy wise way to relate conspiracy? Capture+_2021-03-30-23-12-38.png. Capture+_2021-03-30-13-41-09.png. QR__urgent_. dash underscore SBCOUNTYHS underscore dash underscore citizen underscore demands underscore a underscore voice underscore of underscore community underscore affairs underscore discussion underscore forum underscore dash underscore topics underscore dash underscore hash stop gangstalking underscore dash underscore hash HIV untreatable dot png. I sunfriending on social media realyagoodthing.png. Below URL dash works, give cover image to timeout 20 seconds. Mike I social cop Byers works in the San Bernardino County District Attorney's Office. And was responsible to the user interface with the Facebook got blocked. The full content of this messenger content appears at the bottom of the page and mentioned in spoke voice narrative. http://sir-mike-isocialcop-barres.fuckeduphuman.net. Oh kind sir, a reference writing from May 20, 2006 directed to the attorney of eviction case WGO6266106- found at SoundCloud and Wikiworld-local HIV community Oakland, California, USA. -mike-isocialcop-byers-yuli.png 20,200,724_124,800.jpg. Whomever reading will fail me in no reply, dash no response, holding your conflict avoidance into silence. Blowyourman.jpg. Black-empatapo.jpg. In view of happenings recently, dash this is my emotions today with no one helping me. Emoji-nervous-willy.jpg 20,201,206_110,744.jpg TECHNOREALISM-memex.org Memex. org/meme4-02. HTML. Technorealism demands that we think critically about the role that tools and interfaces play in human evolution and everyday life. Integral to this perspective is our understanding that the current tide of technological transformation, while important and powerful, is actually a continuation of waves of change that have taken place throughout history. David S. Benaham, New York City, March 11, 1998. Dash. Opening and passing on to our future generations dash named Shane Driscoll here, dash the inversions of humane processes that are extremely noted in the transcript of this YouTube video on how TikTok operates dash in final form here, dash the end concludes with the 8 principles of technorealism detailed that my informational technology network scope and focus is alignment with. Principles of TECHNOREALISM 1. Technologies are not neutral. 2. The internet is revolutionary, but not utopian. The net is an extraordinary communications tool that provides a range of new opportunities for people, communities, businesses, and government. Yet as cyberspace becomes more populated, it increasingly resembles society at large, in all its complexity. For every empowering or enlightening aspect of the wired life, there will also be dimensions that are malicious, perverse, or rather ordinary. 3. Government has an important role to play on the electronic frontier. 4. Information is not knowledge. 5. Wiring the schools will not save them. 6. Information wants to be protected. 7. The public owns the airwaves, the public should benefit from their use. 8. Understanding technology should be an essential component of global citizenship. #businessstories #magnatesmediamovies. The Insane Truth About TikTok, Full Movie. 198,519 ViewSock 9, 2021. 6.6 Kelvins. 213. Share. Save. Magnates Media. 97.3K subscribers. Join. Subscribe. The story of TikTok and ByteDance dash this TikTok movie by Magnates Media covers the rise of TikTok and ByteDance, showing how TikTok got so popular and took over the world so suddenly. We explore why TikTok is so successful, how TikTok makes so much money, and the dark consequences of TikTok. Money Mouth Face How to Earn a Full Dash Time Income from YouTube. https://magnatesmedia/YouTube My Complete YouTube System. Tilde tilde tilde. Hourglass Chapters. 00 Prologue. 247 Chapter 1, The American Dream. In China. 609 Chapter 2, Addicts and Algorithms. 1318 Chapter 3, Going Global, A Marketing Masterclass. 2132 Chapter 4, TikTok versus the World. 2801 Chapter 5, The Many Problems of TikTok. 3523 Chapter 6, Why Vine Failed, But TikTok Succeeded. 3830 Chapter 7, How TikTok Makes Money, and Lots of It. 4258 Short Intermission, Two Things to Share with You. 4425 Chapter 8, How TikTok is Changing Lives and Industries. Tilde tilde tilde. How to Be a Legend. Step 1. Subscribe to Magnates Media and turn on all notifications. Step 2. That's it. You're a certified legend. Thanks for your support. Watch more from Magnates Media. Green Circle, the insane story of WhatsApp. https://youtube.com/5bo9nies. Orange Circle, levels of wealth. https://youtube.com/b8d4ucuk60. Red Circle, visit Magnates Media for more. https://www.youtube.com/magnatesmedia. Tilde tilde tilde. Hand waving welcome to the TikTok documentary / ByteDance movie - brought to you by Magnates Media. Magnifying glass. Some of the most searched questions about TikTok are: how did TikTok became popular? Is TikTok shutting down? Is TikTok getting banned? And is TikTok bad? - As you can see, there's a lot of confusion about TikTok. But in this TikTok documentary, we will follow the full story of TikTok and answer not only how did TikTok start and the online marketing TikTok used to get so popular, but also what the future looks like for TikTok. Closed book. Throughout the story of TikTok, we will look at several key areas, such as how did TikTok become popular, is TikTok safe, and what is the TikTok business model. But we'll also ask the question of whether ByteDance and TikTok could even be a serious threat to YouTube and Google. But ultimately, this is not just a TikTok documentary, it's the story of ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, created by Zhang Yiming. City at dusk. To answer the question of how did TikTok become popular, we first must look at the history of ByteDance and the ByteDance business model. Because TikTok ads is just one of many monetization strategies ByteDance/TikTok are using - including some of their B2B services like Lark, and their plans to challenge Amazon and enter e-commerce and online shopping. One interesting business case study we'll look at is TikTok versus Vine, and how TikTok makes far more money than Vine ever did. But we will explore in - depth how TikTok makes money. TV. However, quick reminder. Even though we'll look at some of the problems with TikTok, e.g. why is TikTok so addictive? Is TikTok spying on you? Etc. It's important to remember that the answer of whether TikTok is dangerous is not a simple yes or no. Like with any social media platforms, there are many benefits as well as problems. TikTok can be great, and it can also be terrible. All I can say for sure, is the story of TikTok is a wild ride - so sit back, relax, and enjoy. And if you're an entrepreneur or marketer, take some notes, as we cover a lot of business and marketing strategies to grow your own business. # business stories # Magnates Media Movies. Next track button. If you enjoyed the insane story of TikTok, and you like documentaries about social media platforms and businesses, you love episode 1 in this series, Crazy But True, Business Stories That Feel Like Movies, The Insane Story of WhatsApp, How Does WhatsApp Make Money? Just like with TikTok, there is a lot of focus on data and privacy issues, especially since Facebook purchased WhatsApp. After watching the TikTok documentary, you can check out the story of WhatsApp right here. https://youtube.com/5bo9nies. Tilde tilde tilde. What is Magnates Media YouTube channel? Tilde tilde tilde. Movie camera mini movies about business, marketing, wealth and more. Person in Tuxedo, written, voiced and produced by John Fraser, creator of Magnates Media. Paint Palette video editor, Hahoani Asad. Orange Heart support us and see behind the scenes https://patreon.com/magnatesmedia. Cell phone follow at Magnates Media on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok for bonus content. Bell subscribe and turn on all notifications to see our new documentaries. Disclaimer. I'm not a financial advisor. I may receive a commission on affiliate links used. All content used within the parameters of fair use. Contact us via our about page. Musical note copyright free music used. https://www.dotepidemicsound.com/refera. Free trial. https://www.slip.stream/FPR=John19, use code JOHN02 for 20% off. Sneaky Snitch by Kevin MacLeod. Paint palette editing software used. https://magnates.media/editing, free trial. Want my direct help with your YouTube channel/business? Fire my course, YouTube Business Blueprint, https://magnates.media/YouTube. Phone book a private 1-1 coaching call with me, https://magnates.media/call. Show less. Transcript. The world was collapsing around him. Zhang Yiming was the CEO of ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, and as he watched the news, his heart was racing. Now President Donald Trump threatened to ban it altogether. We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. TikTok had already been banned in India, losing them 200 million users overnight. TikTok was at the center of an international feud with users and governments all around the world asking the same question: can we trust TikTok? Zhang was simultaneously being called a spy by the Americans and a traitor by the Chinese, and other accusations were flying around from all directions. TikTok is a data collection service thinly veiled as a social network. It's secretly loaded with surveillance software for the Chinese government, the most addictive social media app of all time. They're discriminating against the disabled. It's essentially malware that's targeting children. TikTok is a magnet for predators. Wait, take a breath. Zhang switched off the news and reminded himself that despite all of the negative media attention that TikTok was getting, business was going incredibly well if you added up the combined revenue of Twitter, Zoom, Dropbox, Lyft, Snapchat, Shopify, Airbnb, Stripe, Groupon and Spotify all together. It still wouldn't be as high as the revenue of ByteDance. The company's biggest product by far is TikTok, which in less than 4 years has passed 3 billion global downloads, but ByteDance are now working on several other apps that perhaps have even bigger potential. They already make more money than Netflix, have around double the employees of Facebook and are expanding worldwide in unprecedented speed. And yet, how much do you really know about ByteDance? Sure, you've seen TikTok promoted everywhere and possibly use it yourself, but did you ever stop to think how this simple Chinese video app suddenly took over the world? You see, if you're like me and her dismissed TikTok, it's just a cringy app for kids lip-syncing and dancing, you're wrong. In less than a decade, ByteDance have gone from a 4-bedroom apartment in China where the electricity kept cutting out to becoming a global empire that is shaping not just social media but technology, politics and much, much more. The inside story of how it happened is incredibly inspiring and fascinating, but make no mistake, America's tech giants are terrified of ByteDance, and the real question is, should you be terrified too? Music, ByteDance is an app factory. Whilst TikTok is by far their most successful app, when the company launched in 2012, they created 12 different apps within just a few months. These included titles such as Laugh So Much You'll Get Pregnant and Real Beauties Every Day, 100 Beautiful Girls. At this point, it was hard to imagine the colossal impact ByteDance was going to have on the world. In fact, they were even struggling to hire people because of the low-brow reputation they developed early on. The company's founder Zhang Yiming always had big plans. He was inspired by business magnates like Steve Jobs and had a dream of one day building a global company that was as borderless as Google. This was an even more ambitious goal than it sounds, because China essentially operates a separate internet to the rest of the world. Big platforms we all know like YouTube and Facebook are banned in China, and likewise internet companies that start in China almost never manage to take their services worldwide. So Zhang knew that to defy the odds and build a global empire, white Dance needed to think bigger with the apps they were creating. Then one day in 2012, he had an epiphany. While sat on a train, he noticed a decline in people reading newspapers and the sharp increase in phone usage, and deduced that we would soon get all our information from phones. But most importantly, he also realized that getting information from our phones meant we didn't have to rely on people to select the information for us. Through a combination of AI, big data and machine learning, it would be possible to personalize the information to each individual and show them the content they personally are most interested in and thus ByteDance's next app was born Toadiel, which translates as headlines, a news app with a powerful recommendation algorithm that provided a feed of news stories tailored to each user. Zhang said, "We want to become the information platform that understands you best. Uber matches people to cars, rematch people to information." The idea was simple but at the time quite revolutionary. By tracking every single tap, pause and swipe, ByteDance's algorithm was quickly able to understand users better than they understood themselves, instead of just getting a random list of articles curated by someone else. The algorithm would be able to figure out exactly which news stories users would be most interested in and give them a unique personalized feed, and the more they used the app, the more the algorithm learned about them, so the more accurate its recommendations became. As a result, it was very addicting and a huge success, so much so that other companies soon started copying the idea, and ByteDance knew they needed to keep innovating or else a rival with a bigger budget would beat them. Luckily, Zhang had another epiphany, and this one wasn't just going to change the company, it was going to change the world. Music. It's reported that the average user of Headlines, the news app ByteDance created, spends 74 minutes per day on the app. Is this because people were suddenly more interested in news? Of course not. It's because if you design an incredibly smart algorithm that learns what people like and keeps giving them more of it, it's gonna get people hooked. But Zhang had realized, why stop at news and information? So they took the same addictive algorithm from their Headlines app and created a new app for short videos. Now you're probably thinking this new video app was TikTok, and you're half right. In 2017 they launched the international version of TikTok we all know, and we'll get to that very soon. But in 2016 ByteDance launched Douyin, which is the Chinese version of TikTok. Same premise, same logo, same interface, but China has its own segregated version which came first, and there's a few notable differences. Firstly, it had a section called Positive Energy with selected videos that promote the Chinese government. Secondly, it had advanced facial recognition where you can search for videos by tapping a face, a feature which led to lawsuits when ByteDance considered introducing it on TikTok. The Chinese version also makes people's skin appear lighter by default, in line with China's whitening obsession. In short, the Chinese version of TikTok is the same app with some major cultural differences, but one thing is very much the same on both versions: the powerful algorithm. It's unique because it isn't built around your social network. You don't have to friend, follow, subscribe or even search for anything. You just open the app, start swiping, and the algorithm will get better and better at understanding which videos to show you. And because you consume so many short videos in just a few minutes, it gives the algorithm so much data about what content you do and don't like. You could watch 100 videos in a single session, as opposed to something like YouTube where you may only watch a small handful. And since you're not reliant on your social circle for content, you'll never run out of interesting videos to watch. You're just one flick away from something totally random. And new psychologists have found parallels between this and the effect of playing a slot machine in a casino. So when you combine that with the never-ending scroll effect, which tricks our brains into not knowing when to stop using the app, it's easy to see why people get sucked in. ByteDance even added a feature where when you press the back button, it shows you a new video. You have to double tap the button to actually get out of the app. I'm addicted to TikTok now. I've just downloaded it myself and I can't take my eyes off the videos. I spent between 7 to 8 hours. You just keep on scrolling like you just lose track of time. Whilst you're on there, you open this app, you start swiping, and before you know it, 3 hours of your life is gone and you've achieved basically nothing. Now we're gonna look back at the effects of what that does to the brain. What effect does that have on the rest of your life? Music, however, was ByteDance had no problem getting people to watch their new video app. They knew that an addictive algorithm was useless if they didn't have enough people creating videos as well, unless they launched a genius 5-part plan to get creators on board. Step 1, lower the barrier to entry. Competition on social media had become tough. Filming simple selfie videos was no longer enough to blow up on YouTube. You needed to learn how to use editing software, create thumbnails and countless other things, which made it difficult for young new creators to get started. So ByteDance made posting videos ridiculously easy with built-in editing functions in the app. You could even apply filters and add music to make the video immediately seem way more professional and interesting. Then step 2, challenges. If you remember the viral ice bucket challenge in 2014, well, so did ByteDance. They realized that if they created challenges within the app that were easy for people to replicate, like a certain dance, and then people didn't even have to think about original creative content, they could join in by just doing the challenge, which then leads to step 3, give them a taste of fame. If you look on any social media forums, you'll find plenty of people complaining about how hard it is to beat the algorithm with YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and in stark contrast you'll find plenty of people raving about how easily their TikTok videos blew up. I literally gained like a million followers in about the space of like 6 weeks, basically a ByteDance Realize that by sharing the love around a lot of creators, they'd attract way more people wanting to make videos for the app. It was like a new gold rush for everyone who had gotten late on other social media. You could join TikTok and on your first video rack up millions of views, and by giving creators a dose of fame and a hit of dopamine, it encouraged them to recruit more people to the app by telling their audience to come and follow them on TikTok. If you follow Gary Vee, you'll probably be very familiar with, but then this dance started to notice a bit of a problem, making the barrier of entry so low meant they got an equally low quality of content. They had plenty of people posting videos, but a lot of it was just kids lip-syncing or dancing to songs. So then came step 4 of the plan: bribe the top talent. White Dance messaged creative influencers with big followings on other platforms and offered to pay them to come and post on their app. They also reportedly went to art schools to find good-looking creative students and promised to make them famous once they'd attracted some higher quality content. They manipulated the algorithm to make sure it got a lot of views to try and improve people's perceptions of how good the content on the app was. And then finally step 5, nurture relationships. They assigned the top creators account managers who would sometimes even help them with school assignments and relationship issues to make sure the users were able to create lots of content, and thus ByteDance had done it using this strategy in China. Douyin went viral. Of course, plenty of other Chinese companies had tried to copy them, but remember, the more you use ByteDance's apps, the more the algorithm learns about you, which means you get served even better content recommendations, which means you use the app more, and this creates a never-ending cycle of improvements. As a result, very few people wanted to switch to any of these competitor apps that popped up. ByteDance had cracked the code in China, and now they wanted to replicate this success worldwide. In 2017, they officially launched their international version of the app, TikTok, and whilst Zhang Yiming had always been a very ambitious man, even he couldn't have predicted the insanity that was about to begin. Music, quick quiz for you: you're a company with an app that's incredibly popular in China, but now you want to compete worldwide against the biggest tech giants. You oust lots of the top employees from rivals like Facebook and YouTube by offering them higher wages. B, pay top influencers from Facebook and YouTube to come and post on TikTok instead, or C, pour billions of dollars into running ads on Facebook and YouTube so you can literally siphon off users from your competitors. Trick question: ByteDance did all three. You see, a TikTok success should never have been able to happen. The current kings of user-generated content could have stopped her, but they underestimated TikTok and didn't realize they were a serious competitor until it was too late, by which point TikTok had stolen many of their employees, creators, and viewers. Of course, the reason everyone underestimated them is because TikTok's growth rate is unprecedented. They went from nowhere to everywhere insanely quickly. So how did they do it? Now, when ByteDance launched the Chinese version of TikTok, they used a few slightly questionable promotion techniques. For example, they'd made deals with phone shops to unbox the devices, reinstall their app, and then reseal the box so the app was already there when users switched on their new phone. However, with the international version of TikTok, one of their first genius marketing tricks was right out in the open for everyone to see. They initially encouraged users to share their TikTok videos on other social media, which sounds strange at first. Why would TikTok want to make it easy for people to repost TikToks on Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, and so on? Simple, because every TikTok video contains a watermark in the corner promoting their app. I'm willing to bet that even if you've never downloaded TikTok in your life, you've seen a video with the TikTok watermark. It's the ultimate free publicity. And remember, TikTok had made it so much easier to create content thanks to the in-app editing functions, so people will create videos on TikTok then go and post them on all their other social media, giving TikTok endless free marketing. The ByteDance team would even make fake accounts on other social media themselves and just repost lots of the best TikTok videos, because they knew that if you see the TikTok watermark enough, eventually you'll go and download the app yourself. But as well as free promotion, the TikTok team did plenty of paid ads too. Now, to create an ad campaign, most companies hire expensive consultants, recording studios, editors, actors, designers, etc. But ByteDance just used videos people had uploaded to TikTok as ads. Their terms and conditions gave them permission to do that. Then all that money they saved on not making ads meant they had more money to invest in actually running ads across all major platforms. They initially targeted highly populated cities with low CPMs, like some of the poorest cities in India. This got them a lot of downloads quickly and cheaply, which shot the app to the top of the app store, thus attracting lots of free publicity. Once TikTok had some momentum, they targeted micro-influencers with 5 to 10k followers on other social media and promised to make them stars on TikTok if they started posting content on the app. Many of these influencers were frustrated by the slow growth on other social media, so they gladly made the switch to TikTok. Then TikTok stepped it up. They began targeting big influencers like those with 1 million followers and above by offering them big cash payments too. Come and post on Tik-Tok. According to the Wall Street Journal, Biden's even paid $1 million to get one unnamed influencer to post a video on TikTok. Whilst it may seem ridiculous, having celebrities using the platform attracted lots of new users and advertisers. Not just that, but it brought in investors. Just about every venture capital firm was looking to find the next Facebook, and seeing different stars joining the platform led to some investors plowing billions of dollars into TikTok, which ByteDance reinvested into even more advertising. At one point they were spending $3 million per day on ads. The focus was just pure growth, not profit, but one of the biggest keys to success was that ByteDance made many acquisitions of other companies that helped fuel TikTok's growth. Many of these were AI companies that could help improve their algorithm even further, but also whenever TikTok expanded into a new area, they tried to acquire a local company who had good knowledge and experience of the city. However, ByteDance's most influential acquisition of all was Musical.ly, a short video app that was very similar to TikTok, especially with its emphasis on using songs and videos. The app was struggling a little bit, but it did have a solid user base in the US, especially amongst very young users, so buying this was a cost-effective way for ByteDance to get new users from a new market. ByteDance later merged Musical.ly and TikTok together, which a lot of Musical.ly users weren't happy with at first, but they soon got on board when they realized the TikTok algorithm was better. Now, whilst all of this might seem too easy, you have to remember ByteDance already had a formula to follow from all their experiences with the Chinese version of the app. For example, they knew how important it was to make the barrier of entry so low for creators, so they had a whole team creating beautifying filters to make people look better so they didn't feel self-conscious about posting videos. Tik-Tok also copied many of the popular challenges over from the Chinese version, so that there were lots of easy but fun challenges for people to participate in when they downloaded TikTok. And then one day something surprising happened. It was early morning in the ByteDance headquarters. The marketing team were feeling tired. It had been an exhausting few months, and ByteDance have the same 996 working culture as many other Chinese tech companies, which means you work 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. You get paid very well with lots of bonuses available, but it's intense to say the least. So everyone was a little surprised when early one morning someone excitedly shouted, "Arnold Schwarzenegger just joined Tik-Tok." It was big news because Arnold wasn't getting paid or asked to do it. He just heard about the app and posted some videos for fun. This generated free publicity for Tik-Tok and proved to them they were reaching a tipping point. They were no longer having to pay stars to join. Tik-Tok was becoming the place to be, with even celebrities now voluntarily joining the app. But despite all of this marketing we've just talked about, perhaps the biggest reason for Tik-Tok's sudden growth was something completely out of their control: music. Locked at home with not much else to do, TikTok became the go-to app. Kids even got their parents using it and doing challenges together. TikTok's growth had already been explosive, but the pandemic just added fuel to the fire. It's reported that during lockdowns, the average TikTok user opened the app 8 different times every day. Suddenly TikTok was on a faster growth trajectory than YouTube, and ByteDance's international expansion had gone unimaginably well. But here's the thing: during TikTok's rapid global expansion, multiple issues had been bubbling under the surface, and in the blink of an eye all of their hard work was about to come crashing down. Music. In 2019, India banned Tik-Tok due to claims of spreading explicit content. Overnight TikTok lost around 200 million users. Pakistan soon banned them too. TikTok would eventually managed to appeal the decision, only for them to get banned again just a few months later on the grounds that they were stealing and surreptitiously transmitting users' data outside of the country. But this was just the start of a domino effect when more and more governments around the world started raising concerns about TikTok. Specifically, what data is TikTok actually collecting and what is it doing with that data? Everyone had their own theories on this. A popular Reddit post claimed to have reverse engineered the app and stated it was essentially a data collection service that's thinly veiled as a social network. An iOS update also meant that users would be alerted when an app accesses their clipboard. Soon videos emerged of TikTok reading almost every bit of info that was copied on someone's device, even if they weren't using the app. The US Secretary of State claimed TikTok was among a number of Chinese apps feeding data directly to the Chinese Communist Party. The US government then opened a national security review of the platform after both a Democrat and Republican lawmaker suggested it posed a serious risk and that it could be surveillance software for the Chinese governments. A senator also described it as a Trojan horse, whilst the Financial Times reported that ByteDance were trying to circumvent Apple's privacy policies. The Android version includes code that allows for the downloading of remote zip files, unzips them, and executes the apps inside arbitrarily. TikTok asks for access to your videos, your photos, your microphone, your camera, and your contacts. Tik-Tok also collects information about the messages that you send, about the apps that you use, the other apps on your phone. It collects the sites that you visit. It collects your search history. It collects your keystrokes. It collects your location data. Wait, hold on. Collecting obscene amounts of data is unfortunately a pretty common practice, especially by social media platforms. So why was everyone freaking out? Well, China's national intelligence law requires all companies within its borders to hand over data at its request without the need for a warrant. In fact, the government can literally take ownership of your company if they choose to. So yes, most people have accepted big tech have loads of our data, but the idea of the Chinese government having all of our personal data seemed more worrying, especially given how much data TikTok collects. Every bit and byte of data that TikTok collects is under the scope of China's intelligence law. Maybe that's why it's getting banned from the US armed services, and why Reddit's CEO recently claimed that it was fundamentally parasitic. But again, let's hold up. This is one side of the story. Here's the other side of the story. TikTok have repeatedly stated that they are not a Chinese company. Yes, by Dance, the parent companies, but they created a whole separate app and company for Tik-Tok that's not based in China and thus not under their rules. Tik-Tok state they have never given data to the Chinese government and never will. It could also be argued that everything going on with countries banning and threatening TikTok wasn't really about TikTok. This was about the rise of China. TikTok was unfairly caught in the middle of a political battle between several governments, and it was just being used as a pawn in a game of geopolitical chess. Sure, TikTok collects a lot of data, but that's because their whole app is built around understanding you better to show you more tailored videos, not because their surveillance for the Chinese. Many of the accusations against them were just theoretical fears rather than actual evidence, but despite that, it seemed that in some Western countries, TikTok was becoming public enemy number one, especially in the US, where Trump ran ads saying TikTok is spying on you, and then the US will ban these apps within 45 days unless they are taken over by an American company. Of course, we know that Microsoft is currently in talks to buy some of TikTok's operations in countries like the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. In this executive order, Trump cited some of the things we already know that US officials are worried about when it comes to these apps, things like national security concerns, how they collect data. TikTok were told they had to find a US buyer or else they'd be shut down. Many TikTok stars who'd built a career for themselves using the platform were panicked, but soon it looked like Microsoft was gonna swoop in and buy the American branch of TikTok so that the app could continue. Right at the last minute, though, Trump suggested he wouldn't sign off on it unless a lot of money went to the US Treasury. So the deal fell apart. Next, it looked like Oracle was about to buy TikTok. A deal was agreed, and then again, right at the last minute, Trump announced ByteDance would be creating a $5 billion education fund as part of the deal, which ByteDance was completely unaware of. So once again, the deal fell through. Meanwhile, ByteDance and TikTok were suing Trump and the US government in a hope to delay the ban until after the 2020 US election and when Joe Biden took over as president. TikTok thought all of their problems were about to fade away, but instead Biden signed an executive order for deeper investigations. So whilst there was no immediate ban, the threat still very much looms over TikTok. The irony of all of this, though, is that whilst many in the West were calling ByteDance a puppet for the Chinese government were acting just as viciously towards ByteDance themselves. China completely banned one of ByteDance's other apps that was meant for jokes and memes because they claimed it had vulgar content. ByteDance really was facing attacks from all directions. But what's most interesting of all is that whilst the entire world was busy debating TikTok's data policies, they were completely missing something much more sinister: music. Okay, has anyone else noticed that your For You page has been a little too accurate lately? It hasn't been things that I'll Google or I talk about. It's been thought an algorithm designed to give people more of what they want. Sounds great in theory until you really stop to think about it. For example, what happens when a pedophile joins the app and what they want to see is underage girls dancing provocatively? If you're looking at a lot of kids dancing sexually, it's going to give you more kids dancing sexually. Here's a video showing a young girl in class on the floor in her school uniform. It's attracted hundreds of comments, mainly for much older men. A lot of the accounts he follows were mostly young girls. I saw that there was one as young as 7 there. Now, it's worth acknowledging TikTok are not alone in these issues. YouTube had a predator scandal of its own due to its recommendation algorithm, where old men would be watching clips of young children on YouTube, so the algorithm recommends them more of that content. Worse still, they would link each other to certain videos and timestamps in the comments, which led to YouTube having to disable all comments on kids' videos. But with TikTok, the problems were exacerbated further by the fact you can privately message users, plus the fact that around 1 in 4 users of TikTok are believed to be under 17. On a related note, TikTok have already paid millions of dollars to authorities for knowingly collecting private info about children without parental consent. They also had to pay out many more millions when some data got leaked, including private details about children as young as 6 years Old TikTok's predator problem is merely one example of how their powerful algorithm can send people, often young kids, down incredibly dark rabbit holes. A second example is how easily kids can be exposed to disturbing videos. For example, this reporter set up a brand new TikTok account pretending to be a 13-year-old. She didn't like or follow anything, and yet before long the app showed me this clip of a confrontation in the street. I lingered on the video but didn't press like. Before long I was being fed a stream of videos of people screaming profanities, a violent assault, and a young man lying bloodied in the street, and TikTok thinks I'm 30. A third example of a dangerous rabbit hole is depressive content. If the algorithm realizes that what you engage with most is sad videos, your feed will become increasingly dark and depressing. In fact, one report found that within just half an hour, 93 of videos you get shown will be depression-related if those are the type of videos you engage with most. In TikTok's defense, the algorithm is simply trying to give the user the content it engages with the most that keeps them on the platform the longest. It's not deliberately doing anything bad, but if you're already depressed, you probably would linger on the sad videos, which means you'll get sadder and sadder content. Your feed will be filled with the bleakest and darkest corners of TikTok, a lot of which is totally unmoderated, including videos encouraging suicide. Even within popular viral TikToks, there have been multiple challenges promoting something dangerous. Stupid TikTok Benadryl overdose challenge, somebody's died from this already. Another example is the promotion of completely unsafe products. One girl who struggled with an eating disorder found that her feed was filled with videos advertising unregulated weight loss pills and harmful crash diets. When she made a video calling TikTok out for allowing this content, her post got deleted because I said this app is promoting eating disorders, which brings us to yet another issue some people have with TikTok censorship. Moderators on TikTok were told to restrict or shadow ban videos from users who appeared ugly, poor, or disabled. For example, their moderation guidelines said to restrict content from people who were chubby, having Down syndrome, or simply posting in a poor or dilapidated location. A spokesperson later said this was to try and prevent cyberbullying, although others have argued that TikTok was simply trying to get content on their platform they felt was more desirable. The people behind the algorithm have godlike powers when it comes to controlling what TikTok's billions of users actually get to see. Another example of TikTok controlling the type of content on its platform came when The Guardian uncovered that TikTok was restricting content relating to the independence of Tibet and Taiwan, along with subjects like the Tiananmen Square protests. In other words, TikTok censors videos that they know won't please the Chinese government. Some say this is to try and advance China's foreign policy aims, but the most likely reality is White Dance simply don't want to annoy the Chinese government any further after they already banned one of their popular apps. The truth is, take up can't really win here. Some think TikTok is stifling free speech, especially since they announced plans to hire thousands more employees to their censorship and moderation teams, but on the other side, other people feel TikTok is not doing enough to control what gets posted, and that they have a big problem with misinformation because TikTok videos can easily go viral. There's also the risk that users will wittingly or unwittingly share information that's false, and once it spreads, it can be really difficult to stop. Some people are also concerned how much hate speech goes undetected on TikTok. Sometimes if you're reading the hate comments and the stress load, it can be so much for your body and you're just overwhelmed and you're lonely, so that can also creep into depression. Just to emphasize how extreme this issue is, there's now a masked vigilante who is trying to track down bullies on TikTok because the TikTok moderation team have struggled to keep up with all the abuse. Now again, let's be clear, many of these problems are incredibly difficult for TikTok to deal with, and they certainly do seem to be trying, and it should also be acknowledged that the vast majority of users don't have problems like this, but that's the most worrying part because everyone's feed is so different. Many people don't even know about the darker corners of TikTok. A parent using the app will see a wildly different feed to what their kids may see. A person who's happy will see a wildly different feed to what a depressed person would see. To summarize, the TikTok algorithm really is incredible at giving you content that will keep you watching longer, no matter how dark or disturbing that content is. However, despite all of these issues, predators, dark rabbit holes, dangerous challenges, censorship, bullying, and plenty of other problems, TikTok has become the world's hottest platform, and from a business perspective, it's a clear success story and now one of the world's largest private companies. So to understand how ByteDance achieved that so quickly despite all of these issues, there's one final piece of the puzzle we need to talk about that's perhaps the most crucial piece. Music, an app that only allowed videos up to 6 seconds long, was created in 2012, the same year that ByteDance started. Vine got acquired by Twitter before it even officially launched, and when the app went live in 2013, they rapidly built up an active user base. Considering this was several years before ByteDance would create TikTok, Vine looked perfectly positioned to dominate the short video markets, but By 2015 Vine had a big problem. All their top creators were becoming increasingly frustrated since Vine offered no way to monetize their content. The top creators felt they'd helped make Finer success and the Vine team was basically ignoring them, so the creators started posting Vines to direct people to their other social media instead. Concerned, the Vine team agreed to a meeting with 18 of the top creators and heard their demands. The creators wanted to be paid $1.2 million a year to post 3 Vines a week. Internally, the Twitter team were very worried about this idea. They figured if they started dishing out money to content creators on Vine, it would set a precedent and people would start wanting money for tweets as well. But they knew losing all of their biggest content creators would look terrible, so they were considering it until they realized that the top Vine stars didn't want $1.2 million to split between them. They wanted $1.2 million each, and considering Vine was making a loss at this point, it just wasn't possible. So the top stars at the platform left. Vine continued to struggle for money, and by 2017 the app was officially dead. Ironically, this was the year TikTok launched. UC ByteDance had been observing carefully, and Vine's brief moment in the sun had proven the demand for short videos, but also highlighted two important lessons. Number one, don't ignore your best creators, find a sustainable way to pay them. And number two, don't let them get too powerful. Now, there are many reasons for TikTok success: the vast amounts of money it spent, its powerful algorithm, fortunate timing, good management, clear strategy, a fair bit of luck, and many more. But one of the biggest factors of all was that TikTok truly focused on creators. Right from day one, at the beginning they'd even invite users to the ByteDance offices to chat, get feedback and create videos together. ByteDance had learned a lot of lessons from Vine, but the biggest of all was about building a creator economy within its app, a whole ecosystem where new creators had a real shot at going viral and the top creators had a way to profit so they'd stay loyal. And in order to do that, TikTok figured out a way to do the one thing I never could: make a hell of a lot of money. Music, music, laughter, music. Eventually the big tech giants realized TikTok posed a serious threat to them, which is why just about every social media app launched a service that was essentially a TikTok clone. Instagram launched Reels, Facebook launched Lasso, Snapchat launched Spotlight, YouTube launched Shorts, and so on. In fact, Instagram even announced they're no longer a photo sharing app, with many articles pointing out they're trying to become TikTok, but it was too little too late. By that point, TikTok was a $1 billion app. Firstly, TikTok obviously monetized with ads in the video feed, but because the videos were longer than Vines, it was much easier to attract advertisers, especially because the ads look very similar to normal videos. There's just a tiny yellow ad sticker in the corner, so this means brands can make their ads look like user-generated content and get much higher engagement, as often people don't even realize they're watching an ad. TikTok can also charge higher amounts to advertisers because they have so much data about what each person likes, so the ads can be very targeted. Secondly, TikTok created a built-in creator marketplace, connecting businesses and creators together so they could make brand deals, and this was the ultimate win-win-win for creators. It gave them an easy and direct way to make money within the app. For advertisers, it allowed them to easily find relevant creators for their brand, view their profile stats, and make a secure payment without risk of getting scammed. And finally, for TikTok, it not only made their app more appealing, but also meant they could keep tabs on exactly what deals were being made and take a share of the revenue for themselves. Thirdly, TikTok monetized with sponsored brand challenges. For example, Samsung worked with TikTok to create the video Snap Challenge, where you take 3 different pictures and it merges them into a single image. The catch is this feature is only available on Samsung Galaxy S21 phones, so basically TikTok have found ways to blur the lines between what's content and what's an advertisement, which means they can charge brands a lot more money. But interestingly, if we look at the Chinese version of TikTok, we can see that ByteDance have plenty more monetization tricks up their sleeve that they soon might be bringing over to TikTok. For example, tipping via live streams is a much more common thing there. There's also a feature where any user can pay to boost their post visibility to a certain audience, but most notably of all is how ByteDance is planning on disrupting e-commerce. Yep, ByteDance is not just taking on social media giants, now they're taking on Amazon. Here's how it works. Let's say you're browsing TikTok and you see a video with some cherries in it and they look delicious. Well, TikTok will show you a pop-up with a button to buy cherries. Your payment card and address will already be registered, so you won't even need to leave the app to buy them. Of course, this shopping feature can work with anything, since TikTok's I can tell exactly what's being shown in a video and show you a related item that you can buy. Essentially, they want to blur the lines between content and shopping, and it's easy to see how this can lead to a lot of impulse purchases, since you won't need to go actively looking for things to buy. The Chinese version of TikTok reported they had nearly $30 million worth of sales using this feature on a single day in December 2018. The feature is very popular in China already and will likely become much more widely used on TikTok as well, especially because ByteDance have already entered into partnerships with big companies like Walmart and L'Oreal, but it goes further. They're even experimenting with features like food delivery with Me app, proving there is endless potential ways to monetize the billions of users TikTok now has, and thus ByteDance's focus on building a lucrative business rather than just a popular app. It's what separates it from Vine and many other short-form video apps that were similar but never made it. So whilst many people seem to think of TikTok as just another Vine, a fad that will come and go, TikTok is already far more successful than Vine could have ever even dreamed of. In fact, I would like to put forward to you an entirely different opinion. This is just the beginning of TikTok, and I'd like to tell you a short story to prove it before we get to the final chapter of the TikTok story, which is honestly the most important of all. I have two things to share with you. Firstly, congratulations on making it this far in the video in this current TikTok era. Our attention spans seem to be in all time low, so watching 40 minutes of a single video is rare, but if you're like me and you enjoy more in-depth longer form stories like this, feel free to turn on notifications for this channel, as I'll be posting more mini movies like this very soon. Secondly, I know from the comments many of you are interested in making YouTube your full-time income, but I also know that starting with YouTube can be incredibly difficult and overwhelming, so that's why I created the YouTube Business Blueprint, which gives you my exact strategies for making content like this, rapidly growing your channel, setting up multiple revenue streams, and if you want, scaling it like a business so you can have a team working for you. It's basically an all-in-one system with everything you need and everything I wish I'd had much earlier. So if you want to get paid to make videos on whatever topics you find interesting, check out the first link in the description, because for a limited time, if you buy the course, you'll also get a free 1-hour strategy call with me so we can work on your channel or business together. So pause the video now and check out the link below. Then let's get back to the story. Music. In 2018, Montero Hill was unemployed, had no money, and was sleeping on the floor of his sister's house. He dropped out of college to pursue his dream of becoming a famous rap artist, and it was going terribly. Nothing was working, nobody knew him, and he didn't have a record label, so it was recording songs out of his nan's closets, up until one day where a small influencer used one of his songs in a TikTok video. That song was Old Town Road. Montero, better known as Lil Nas X, suddenly had his life completely changed. Old Town Road went viral on TikTok, with people dressing up as cowboys to fit the theme of the song. Old Town Road then went on to become one of the most successful songs of all time, and it was all thanks to TikTok. In fact, TikTok has had a real impact on the entire music industry. It's a new way for artists to get their music heard, record companies or even paying influencers to use their songs in TikTok videos, and TikTok themselves offer an expensive service where they will craft a challenge around a specific song to help to get more people to hear it. Doja Cat is just one example of an artist whose success was masterminded by TikTok. Because of all the data TikTok have, they've also been advising record companies which songs of an album should be released as singles, because they can see which songs users are saving most often. But this goes even further. Some artists are now even writing songs with TikTok in mind, thinking about how the lyrics or music could be turned into some kind of TikTok challenge or meme. Now let's zoom out for a second. This story about the music industry highlights two things. Number one, TikTok provides an opportunity for content creators of all kinds to get more visibility than they normally would on other platforms. In fact, there's countless jobs and careers TikTok is helping end many lives it's transforming, not to mention the billions of active users who are entertained by TikTok every day. So whilst it's easy for us to look at the dark side of TikTok, there are also countless people who have been very positively impacted by the app. You can post one video and instantly overnight be viral. It's given an insane and kind of unexpected opportunity to a lot of young people to kind of express their opinions. But the second thing this music example reveals is that ByteDance have much bigger plans than just being a content platform. They want to disrupt everything. Short videos is just the stars. The obvious next step is long-form video, which is why the Chinese version of TikTok is allowing videos up to 15 minutes long. But ByteDance have a totally separate app called Watermelon, specifically designed for longer contents that should not only have YouTube worried, but also streaming giants like Netflix. Pythons have already made licensing deals with the BBC, PBS, and many more. They even hired the ex-head of Disney Plus. But ByteDance's plans are much bigger than video. ByteDance have been very vocal about entering the gaming market and have bought multiple game publishing companies already. At one point, three of the top five mobile games in China were from ByteDance. They also recently announced plans to hire over 10,000 new employees for some new education-related apps. They're even entering financial technology, cloud hosting, and search. ByteDance also already have a business software called Log, which combines email, chat, video calls, calendars, and cloud document storage. They also quietly launched a new division called ByteDance Plus, which sells it to other businesses in China. ByteDance are also doubling down on their messaging apps and have started putting huge ads for their apps all over the Chinese version of TikTok. You can certainly expect that at some point ByteDance will start directing TikTok users to some of their many other apps and services, because whilst TikTok was their first big international hit, it's just the beginning. It's a tool that will help them build their empire. Most people have never even heard of ByteDance and just think of TikTok as some silly short video app, but let's be clear, ByteDance already have over 110,000 employees in over 200 cities around the world and are expanding rapidly into more industries than anyone can keep track of. Truthfully, it's impossible to know for sure exactly where ByteDance is heading and how powerful they're going to become, but one thing is clear: Zhang Yiming's dream of building a company as borderless as Google has become a reality now. If you thought the story of TikTok and ByteDance was interesting, wait until you hear the story of WhatsApp. In this mini movie, we finally answer the question: how does WhatsApp really make money? Just click here to check it out now. Thanks for watching Magnates Media. I've been John, you've been awesome. I'll see you in the next episode. Cheers. Music dash dash principles of TechNoralism. 1. Technologies are not neutral. A great misconception of our time is the idea that technologies are completely free of bias, that because they are inanimate artifacts, they don't promote certain kinds of behaviors over others. In truth, technologies come loaded with both intended and unintended social, political, and economic leanings. Every tool provides its users with a particular manner of seeing the world and specific ways of interacting with others. It is important for each of us to consider the biases of various technologies and to seek out those that reflect our values and aspirations. 2. The internet is revolutionary, but not utopian. The net is an extraordinary communications tool that provides a range of new opportunities for people, communities, businesses, and government. Yet as cyberspace becomes more populated, it increasingly resembles society at large, in all its complexity. For every empowering or enlightening aspect of the wired life, there will also be dimensions that are malicious, perverse, or rather ordinary. 3. Government has an important role to play on the electronic frontier. Contrary to some claims, cyberspace is not formally a place or jurisdiction separate from Earth. While governments should respect the rules and customs that have arisen in cyberspace, and should not stifle this new world with inefficient regulation or censorship, it is foolish to say that the public has no sovereignty over what an errant citizen or fraudulent corporation does online. As the representative of the people and the guardian of democratic values, the state has the right and responsibility to help integrate cyberspace and conventional society. Technology standards and privacy issues, for example, are too important to be entrusted to the marketplace alone. Competing software firms have little interest in preserving the open standards that are essential to a fully functioning interactive network. Markets encourage innovation, but they do not necessarily ensure the public interest. 4. Information is not knowledge. All around us, information is moving faster and becoming cheaper to acquire, and the benefits are manifest. That said, the proliferation of data is also a serious challenge, requiring new measures of human discipline and skepticism. We must not confuse the thrill of acquiring or distributing information quickly with the more daunting task of converting it into knowledge and wisdom. Regardless of how advanced our computers become, we should never use them as a substitute for our own basic cognitive skills of awareness, perception, reasoning, and judgment. 5. Wiring the schools will not save them. The problems with America's public schools, disparate funding, social promotion, bloated class size, crumbling infrastructure, lack of standards, have almost nothing to do with technology. Consequently, no amount of technology will lead to the educational revolution prophesied by President Clinton and others. The art of teaching cannot be replicated by computers, the net, or by distance learning. These tools can, of course, augment an already high-quality educational experience. But to rely on them as any sort of panacea would be a costly mistake. 6. Information wants to be protected. It's true that cyberspace and other recent developments are challenging our copyright laws and frameworks for protecting intellectual property. The answer, though, is not to scrap existing statutes and principles. Instead, we must update old laws and interpretations so that information receives roughly the same protection it did in the context of old media. The goal is the same, to give authors sufficient control over their work so that they have an incentive to create while maintaining the right of the public to make fair use of that information. In neither context does information want to be free. Rather, it needs to be protected. 7. The public owns the airwaves, the public should benefit from their use. The recent digital spectrum giveaway to broadcasters underscores the corrupt and inefficient misuse of public resources in the arena of technology. The citizenry should benefit and profit from the use of public frequencies and should retain a portion of the spectrum for educational, cultural, and public access uses. We should demand more for the private use of public property. 8. Understanding technology should be an essential component of global citizenship. In a world driven by the flow of information, the interfaces, and the underlying code that make information visible are becoming enormously powerful social forces. Understanding their strengths and limitations, and even participating in the creation of better tools, should be an important part of being an involved citizen. These tools affect our lives as much as laws do, and we should subject them to similar democratic scrutiny. Dash.